Praise God, who here has ever been lost? Don't be shy. Yes? Yes, many of us have. Who here has ever thought, I wish there was just a shortcut? Yeah, I've done that plenty of times. Gone through a big city thinking, why are there so many streets? I wish there was a shortcut. But you know, this is probably for the guys. Who's ever thought of asking for directions? No, it wasn't me. Kyle is giving me the look. I've never asked for directions. But you know, even Navman gets it wrong. Who's got a navigator in their car or they use their phone? Sometimes a Navman has it wrong. The streets just don't appear. That's right. But you know, asking for direction, as simple as it sounds, is quite relevant. When we ask God for directions, we're not asking God not only to show the way, but to make a way. You know, when there's no road, God can make a road. When there's no path, God can make a path. Praise God, you don't have to rely on a navigator. You've got your Bible, the perfect navigation tool, the best one that you will ever have, the best map that you'll ever have. It doesn't need updating. It doesn't need updating on the computer. You can have it at all times. That is our God. Do you know that when God says he's making a way, we have this whole idea, this concept that it's a highway. It's a wide road. When God makes a way, we're just going to be out of steam down there, cruise control. But that's not what that scripture says. When God says he's making a way, it's actually saying a pathway. Or even a road. But think about the Old Testament road. We're not talking about the roads that we have today. Now we're talking about roads, we're talking about tracks. Small and narrow. And you know something? When God makes a way for you, it's personal. Ever consider that? God, please make a way, and he steps in. And that pathway is just the right size for you. The power of God is awesome. We can't deny what God has done for us. Us being here tonight was because God made a way for us to be here tonight. Yes? You know, that's why God's not surprised when we turn up. You know, he doesn't come to church and he looks around and he says, oh, Hannah, what a surprise you're here tonight. He doesn't say that. Of course, he knew Sister Hannah was coming in tonight. He doesn't turn around, Davina, wow, I didn't expect you here. He doesn't do that. God knew that our sister would be here tonight. He made a way so that we could all be here in his presence. We know that in Exodus, the children of Israel had come and they'd got to a point, and we know through the 10 plagues, each plague got worse until finally they got to the last plague. Who knows what the last plague was? Death of the firstborn, that's right. And so the Israelites had to apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel. And when the death angel passed over, he would look and he would see the blood and say, they're covered. And no harm would come to that household. As for the rest of Egypt, the firstborn was smitten, as was promised. And Pharaoh, he said, get up and get out. Tells Israel to flee. He tells them to get out of our land. And they leave. And so Israel, they're off in the wilderness. Remember this, they had just witnessed the mighty power, the miraculous power of God through all the plagues on Egypt. Remember this. And so they get into the wilderness. And Pharaoh's heart, the Bible says, was hardened. And he said, what have I done? We just let go of all of these Israelites. And so he musters up his army. And he pursues after the Israelites into the wilderness. And not only are Israel in the wilderness, they now have the Egyptians behind them. And where did they get led to? The Red Sea. The Red Sea. And so they're jimmied in between the world and the Red Sea. Did God remove the Red Sea? Did he decide, I'm going to pick the sea up and I'm going to move it out of the way and then you can all go through? The Bible doesn't tell us that God moved the Red Sea, but it does tell us he made a way through the Red Sea. And you know, in this world, the world is like the Red Sea, but God will navigate us through it if we will trust in the Lord. You know, we are faced many times with uncertainties. We have the world behind us. We have so much in front of us. And we don't know how we're going to get through it. But if we will cry out to God, if we will turn our eyes upon the Lord, if we will face God face to face, God will make a way. And so Moses lifted up the rod that was in his hand and he prayed. And the Bible tells us that the seas were parted. The sea parted on one side and it parted on the other side. And the Israelites were able to walk through the middle. And the sand was dry because God made a wind to blow as well during the night. And so the land that they walked on was dry. And so the Israelites started going in. And we think, oh, it was only a few Israelites. No, there was a couple of million people trying to get through. It was quite a large crowd. And the Egyptians, they saw the Israelites go through the middle. And you know what happened? They decided to chase after them. And you would think they had learnt their lesson at this point. That God was with his people. And you know what happened? The Bible says that God's face looked upon the Egyptians and he took off the wheels of the chariots. Can you imagine driving in your car and God decides to take the wheels off your car while you're driving? It'd be terrifying. Watch my wheels roll off down over there. But that's exactly what happened. God took the wheels off those chariots. And then I realized God's fighting for the Israelites. We're stuck. And they've got mountains of water up each side. And all the Israelites have gotten through to the other side. And God says, just raise up your hands and pray. And the waters will come back. And he smote all the Egyptians. All the Egyptians were wiped out in that one act. Don't forget that God is with you. He is with you. The world may be hot on your heels, nipping away all the time, always trying to get a little beat, always trying to get a little peace, always trying to get your ankles. But if you remain faithful to God, if you remain steadfast where your eyes are focused upon what God has done for you and what God will do for you, he will never fail you. He will make a way. What turned to be salvation for the Israelites became a dead end for the Egyptians. They came to an end, a dead end. And God is great and greatly to be praised. Who believes that? Don't get stuck looking for highways. Look for the path and hold fast. Don't get stuck looking for highways. Look for the path and hold fast. Because on that pathway, you know, you may get led around the mountain. God's not going to necessarily take the mountain out of the way sometimes. There's been many times in my life where I've wished God would take this mountain out of my life, but he hasn't. And he hasn't done it because he wants to see how much I struggle. He's done it so that he can prove himself faithful, that he has an opportunity to come through for me. And it drives me to my knees. It compels me to get closer to God. If God took the mountain out of the way and it was easy all the time, there would be nothing to share. There would be nothing to tell. And so God, he will create a track, a pathway just for you. And yeah, you may have to walk through that valley. You may have to walk around the mountain or up and over the mountain. But God is with you. Amen. God has never, let me emphasize this, has never failed me yet. He has never, never failed me yet. Let's hear it again. He has never failed me yet. We need to keep that the focus. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Don't lack confidence. Don't doubt what God has done for you. When this world comes against you, don't get frightened. Don't become fearful, but hold steadfast the promises of God. Hold steadfast the power of God in your life. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing. He shall perform that work, amen, that he's begun in our lives until he returns. Hallelujah. My confidence is not in people. My confidence is not in substance. It's not in material things. It's not in the things of this world, because they will all fail. But my confidence is in Jesus Christ, who has never, ever failed. When I'm at my lowest point, God raises me up so I can walk on mountains. Praise God. Forget about moving mountains. Lord, if it needs be, help me to walk on one. He can do that too. You can skip on the tops of mountains. And praise God, if God chooses to make a way like that, well, praise the Lord, that he takes you up into heavenly places with him. You know, recently I was listening to a message by Brother Woodward, and he was doing communion with his church, and he made a very interesting point. He said, back in the Bible times, it was custom that when a debt was paid in full, what they would do, the creditor would put a slip of paper and write on the word finished on that piece of paper. And then they would nail it to your house or to whatever it was that was paid in full. And I say this tonight because it spoke to me that you can never go too far when you fall from grace. There's no sin that God cannot forgive, because God made the way through the cross. And when Jesus, he was hanging upon that cross, you know, there was the nails had gone through his hands. But between the beam and his hands was a slip of paper, spiritually speaking. And on that slip of paper was the word, it was all our debt, all our IOUs, all our sins, all our failings, all our shortcomings was on that piece of paper. It was nailed there to the cross. And then Jesus uttered those words, "It is finished." He paid it all. He paid for your sins. He paid for your failings. He paid for what's to come. He paid for what's behind. He paid for it all. Amen. He made a way when there was no way. Hallelujah. There was nothing we could do to redeem ourselves. There was nothing we could do to bring ourselves back to Him. But Jesus said, "It is finished." Praise God for His mercy. Praise God for His salvation. Praise God for the power that He has. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I am thankful for God for what He has done. Hallelujah, Lord. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." That's our God. He took our sins out of the way. He took our shortcomings and failings out of the way, amen. And tonight, if you feel like you're lost, there's an opportunity to come back to God, because God has made a way through the cross that you can come back to Him in repentance. You can come back to Him calling upon His name, because God has made a way. You no longer have to live in condemnation, but you can walk in the Spirit once again. Therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, amen, but they are walking after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:1-2. And praise God for that. This is a great thing, that His mercies are indeed new every morning. Who believes it? Who has seen the mercy of God in their lives? Let's hear it again. Who has seen the mercy of God in their lives? Amen. Every one of us has seen the mercy of God. And hasn't it been sweet? Hasn't it been wonderful what God has done for us? It doesn't matter right now where you are. You know, you could need a healing, but God can make a way. You can be in financial need, but God can make a way. Whether you're in a season of life where everything is a struggle, my God can make a way. Whether you're faced with uncertainties of what tomorrow will hold, my God will make a way. I don't care what it is, because my God will make a way. I could be falling short, my God will make a way. I could be in a dire place, but my God will make a way. Amen. Because He is the way maker. Praise God. He is the miracle worker. Amen. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Here's a good illustration, it's a true story. It says, shortly after the Dallas Theological Seminary was founded in 1924, it almost had to be closed. The creditors were about to foreclose at noon on a certain day. Presbyter Lewis S. Chafer met with his faculty at the office, praying fervently that God would provide. Present was Dr. Harry Ironside, who prayed in his characteristic style, "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are Thine. Please sell some and send us the money." Meanwhile, I just love how God works. I really do. I just love this. Meanwhile, a tall Texas businessman stepped into the seminary business office saying, "I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth, but could not make the deal go through. I feel compelled to give the money to the seminary. I don't care if you need it or not, but here is the check." The surprised secretary took the check and timidly knocked on the door of the prayer meeting. When Dr. Chafer took the check out of her hand, it was for the exact amount of the debt. Turning to Dr. Ironside, Chafer said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." Amen. Amen. "My God shall provide all your needs according to his riches in glory. If he has to sell some cattle, he will do that. Amen. He will make a way when there is no way." The musicians would come. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Romans 8 and verse 17. "It is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be as not, as though they were." Those things which be as not, as though they were. Sometimes we can come to a place where we're not sure of what it is that God can do. And you know, if you want healing, God's not limited to here and present. The Bible says he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But he's also able, and this will blow your mind, he's also able to be in the past as well as in the future, as well as in the present. God's not limited to the boundaries of time. And so when he says that he calls those things as though they were not, as though they are now, my God is able, hear this, he's able to reach into your past at a time when you were fully healed and bring that moment into the present, and a miracle can occur. You can be healed instantly. My God is able to reach into the future where it could take you 12 months, 18 months to heal. And he's able to reach into that point in time and bring it into the present. And you're healed. And he's even a better one. God is able to reach into nothing, nothing, and bring it into the present. And you're healed. Just like that blind man, when God had to spit in the dirt. He didn't have any eyeballs. So God said, "I'm going to make you a pair." And put some eyeballs in there. God is able to do it. You might be struggling right now, but God is able to reach into nothing. Bring it here. He says, "It's all okay. I have made a way. You don't need to fear what tomorrow will bring. You let God take care of tomorrow, and you worry about today, because God will make a way. God will make a way. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who he is. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. God, you never stop. You never stop working, Lord. You've never stopped working, Lord. You're always working. Even when I can't see it, God, you're always working. You're always doing something, Lord. Oh, Lord, take me deeper with you. Let us stand, amen. Let's all stand together, praise God. Have you got a need that God can fill? Do you need a way made? Do you need a pathway in your life where God can lead you through? If you need healing, there's healing here tonight. If you need strength, there is strength here tonight. If you need certainty and security, you can find that here tonight. My God can make a way. Amen. Praise God.